So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. Welcome, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. So welcome to the Mindset and Hustle Show. In today's podcast, I want to talk about communication. It's like communication is everything, but there's different assets of or facets of communication that I think you need to focus on in your business, in your relationships, and more important than anything else, in the way that you communicate with yourself. So one of the things that I found over my 48 years of life experience so far is that when problems arise, a poorly communicated problem can actually exacerbate the problem itself. And conversely to that, a well-communicated problem can improve the ability to solve that problem. So one of the NLP sayings is, a problem well-defined is a problem half-solved. I'll say that again. A problem well-defined is a problem half-solved. And the way in which you define a problem is through communication, both with yourself and through others. So let me give you an example. Let's say, for example, that you're scared of the monster under the bed. Okay, you think there's a monster under your bed and you're really scared and you don't look and you pull the quilt up over yourself and the blankets and you don't look. And in your mind's eye, you've got this enormous vision of this horrible monster. And because you don't know how big it is and you've not quantified it and you've not got a well-defined problem, like you haven't defined the size of this monster. Like, the monster doesn't exist, by the way, in case you're wondering. It's not some different alternate universe. The monster doesn't even exist. But in your mind, it's this enormous monster, or you might be anxious about something, a phone call you've got to make tomorrow, or you have to have a meeting with somebody. And you haven't defined what's going to happen in that meeting, what the end solution is that you actually want. And so because you haven't defined any of that, the issue and the anxiety seemed even bigger. That right there is a communication problem. So let's just say, use a different analogy. Let's say you've got to fire somebody tomorrow, or you've got to have a phone call with somebody, and in this phone call, it's not going to be very pleasant. One of the things that you can do is, we call these boundary conditions in NLP, by the way, but one of the things that you can do is you can ask yourself, well, what's going to be the worst thing that happens after this phone call? Well, they might hate me and try and shoot me. Right, but is that going to happen? Probably not. So what's the probability of that? Well, less than 0.001%, whatever that's going to be. Okay, so you're starting to clearly define the size of this problem. And a lot of communication is really communication with yourself, not just other people to externalize what you're feeling, but actually internalize what you're feeling as well. And putting a boundary condition around the monster under the bed. Like, how do you do that? Well, you put your head under the bed and you take a look. Obviously, you're going to have to fight through some fear. But then once you quantify it and you understand how big that problem actually is, and you understand, you know, what's the worst that could happen, that's a second way of quantifying it, the problem actually becomes smaller. So a problem well-defined is a problem half-solved. And it's down to you, and it could be your partner or your work team or yourself or whoever it happens to be that you've got a problem with, for you to define clearly the size of this problem. What's the worst case scenario? What's the best case scenario? What would we actually like the solution to look like? And that's some very NLP type language. So if you've got a problem right now, whatever that problem is, just take a moment, have a think about, well, what would you like the solution to look like? And listen to the language. Now your eyes will go up to the top of your head and you sat there and you're thinking, yeah, I can see that this solution, not the problem, the solution will look like this. And you're using a couple of little NLP tricks there. One is changing the language from problem to solution. And the other one is now you're starting to, your eyes go up and you're starting to imagine what the solution to the problem might look like. Because the level of thinking that actually created the problem, i.e. a lack of communication at some level, the way to solve that is have a greater level of imagination than the level of imagination that created the problem in the first place. You need to create something. What would it look like? What would it sound like? How would it feel if we resolved this problem together? Right? So let's say your car broke down. How would it feel like if we resolve that problem? Like, listen to the language. Well, you'd feel a lot better. Okay, what are the steps then that we need to do that? And most people get stuck within the problem. Well, my car's broken down. Panic, panic, panic. Okay, who is this, what resources can you call upon? These are communication tricks. And all I'm doing is asking questions. You can ask somebody a better question. And I did this on Facebook. I saw somebody, they were struggling with a particular problem and they were really anxious about it. And I can't remember what it was, but I asked them like three or four words. And it was something like, what would be the solution? What would the solution to this problem look like? Something like that. It blew them up because they'd never actually thought or considered what the solution to the problem might look like because they were just running the same program over and over and over again, which is, oh my gosh, this problem has happened. All I can think about is this problem. I'll give you another example. I worked in car insurance a long time ago. I used to work for First Direct. Dreadful company to work for. It sounds really good when you first get there, but the management weren't very good, in my humble opinion. Maybe it was just my manager and I was unlucky. Back in 1996, that was, I remember it very well. But I remember answering the phone and the guy had just had a car accident and his car was stuck in the middle lane and he was very, very stressed. And he couldn't solve the problem. He wanted a guy with a truck to turn up like that because he was in a very stressful situation. But he couldn't articulate himself because all he was thinking about was the problem of his car and what his car looked like because it had been involved in quite a bad accident. And obviously his safety was one. So I'm like, okay, let me see what I can do to help you. And he's like, but I need a truck here right now. I'm like, okay, so where are you? Well, you don't need to know that. I just need a truck here. And it's like, dude, I need to know where on earth you are. But he couldn't express the level of his problem because he was so involved in the problem. And this, of course, was 1996, which is, what, 26 years ago, 25 years ago. Good grief. I was such a young spring chicken back then. But he couldn't articulate the problem. And because he couldn't articulate the problem, he was actually quite rude. And I passed him on to a supervisor. He was rude to the supervisor. Then I got a bollocking from the supervisor. Then I made the decision, fuck it, I ain't helping anybody else in that situation ever again because that's what we're going to be like. So, like, nobody was able to help this guy, including him help himself. Whereas, actually, if he could have gotten out of that problem through better use of communication, he could have articulated things better. He could have, you know, spoken to somebody on the scene and they would have possibly helped him a little bit more. But because he was stuck inside that problem, and this is where communication can come in. So let's say you've got a problem with somebody. They've probably got a problem with you as well. And this is one of the things that I can't remember his name. But when Rommel was with his tanks in World War II, what was he called? He had a green beret. I can't remember his name. But he would, you know, put the German hat on. He would put the German trench coat on and he would look at the map and see it through Rommel's eyes. And he would try and alternate his the way in which he would communicate with himself through the use of using somebody else's viewpoint. And he would wear their clothes to try and look like he was thinking from their point of view. And just shifting this from a complete point of view swap. So instead of seeing things through your eyes, trying to see it through somebody else's eyes. But of course, if you're just stuck in a problem, you ain't ever doing that. Let me give you another thing that you could try. Like, I don't know how old you are right now. If you're listening or you're watching this or you're watching the replay, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 48. Okay. And at 48, nearly 50, oof, right? So if I was just to change that up a little bit and go, okay, I'm not 48 anymore. Actually, I'm 38. In fact, let's swap that up even more. Let's pretend I'm 28. Let's take 20 years off. What's the energy levels that a 28-year-old man would actually have? So the energy levels for a 28-year-old will be completely different than the energy levels for a 48-year-old. Let's wear that for a little bit and notice the kind of language that you're using. Let's put that on. Let's wear it. Let's pretend we're 28 instead of 48. What's a 28-year-old doing? Are they out running? Are they out playing basketball? And if they are playing basketball, is their game different at 28 than it might be for someone who's 48? And so when we say, well, age is just a number, and you're absolutely right, and you're as old as you feel, you're absolutely right. So why don't we just change internally the way that we communicate with ourselves? Because the way that we communicate with ourselves is, right now, Dan, you're 48. You have to act like a 48-year-old. I'm off to play on the Xbox Titanfall 2 later. There's not many 48-year-olds doing that. And some will call it immature, and others think it's escapism and so on. But it's irrelevant what other people think. That's something that I enjoy doing. Or maybe I'm going to go for a run later. But if I communicate with myself and say, okay, just imagine you're 28. How far would a 28-year-old run?
Like normally I run for about 30 minutes on a treadmill, and some people at age 48 cannot run for 28 minutes on a treadmill. But if they imagine to themselves, okay, let's pretend I'm 28, they can probably run a bit further. And this is the way in which we communicate with ourselves. And it's completely different. And it's a completely different way of looking at the world. And so instead of saying to yourself, okay, lockdown and pandemic, that's a really negative thing. Let's change that up. Let's try it on. What if the pandemic, the year of the pandemic, the last 12 months, what if that was the 1 year that you've got to change your life 180 degrees and spin it all the way around? It's 360 degrees, technically. What if you could do that? What if just a change in language patterns, which is basically you speaking to yourself, what if a change in language patterns could be the thing that actually changes you? So instead of looking at something negative, you actually look at something from a positive point of view. Let's use the same example with kids. So, for example, when my six-year-old wants attention, often I'm on my phone, I'm checking all emails and checking all this extra stuff. And that's what I have to do. But while I'm doing that, and if my six-year-old is talking to me and I got my head in my phone, how does that make her feel? And so one of the things I'm really working on right now, sometimes I'm successful and sometimes I'm unsuccessful, because let's face it, we're all addicted to picking up these bloody devices. One of the things I'm now trying to do is putting the phone down, coming down to her level, and actually giving her just my attention, my 100% complete attention. Like I say, sometimes we're good at it, sometimes we're dreadful at it. But it's a work in progress that we're trying to continually improve. And so think about this. If that's you and someone's speaking to you, but they're checking their email and they're checking the phones and so on and so forth, what sort of level of commitment do you think they've got to you? Whereas if they go, okay, let me put this down, you have my attention. Do you see the difference? Do you feel the difference? Now, imagine if you did this with everybody that you spoke to. Instead of multitasking, because we're all busy, it's 2021 or whenever you happen to be listening to this. Or if you're a space alien who's picked up our radio signals and it's now, you know, we're an extinct species 4 billion years in the future, and here we are. But this is the way in which you should be communicating with people. And I think that you have to give yourself a bit more energy into thinking about how you communicate with the outside world. Not only the outside world, but I think that you have to give some power to how you communicate with yourself. I'll give you another really good example. Have you ever banged your knee on the table? Like I have, right? And there's a scene in The Office with Ricky Gervais, and he bangs his knee on the desk and he's like, ah, oh, and he goes to kick the table, you know, because it's the table's fault, not his, right? And I've done it myself. And you hit the table, it's like, oh, and then you talk to yourself, say, oh, I'm such an idiot. Like that, you're not an idiot. You banged your knee on the table. Everybody has done it. If you've not done it, you've not lived. You know, everybody's done stupid things or made a mistake or you've had a bump or had an accident or you've banged something. But the language that we say to ourselves, and I still do it to this day as well, by the way, and I try and catch myself from doing it. You're such an idiot. Those words have power. All words have power. And you may say them to somebody else and you may say them to yourself as well. And I think you need to start thinking about the words and the power behind those words that you're using when you're communicating with yourself. And obviously in this podcast, we've covered quite a few different ways in which you can do that, including just a couple of things that you can do, a few mind games. Imagine you're not 48, imagine you're 38, or imagine you're 28. Imagine acting as if. So if you want to be a millionaire in the next 5 years, what does that look like? What car would you drive? What watch would you wear? What house would you live in? Where would you live? What would you do with your day? And if you've never imagined any of these things, there's a good chance you're never going to get to those things. Everything that's happened to me in the last 15 to 20 years, I've imagined. And I'm looking for my notes page. I've even written these things down as notes. So tomorrow, for example, we're walking on the beach. We're next to the Mediterranean. Hopefully it'll be a nice day. We might be playing basketball as yet, but the beach is right there. I imagined that future. And because I imagined that future, that's another way of communicating with myself to tell my unconscious mind. It's called a reticular activation system. This is why we write down goals. The reticular activation system is that thing that when you're looking to buy a blue car, all you ever see is blue cars because you get what you focus on. That's the reticular activation system. And it's a way of communicating with yourself because the brain deletes, distorts, or generalizes all the bits of information that come into your mind. It simply can't cope with it all, so it has to get rid of a lot of it. But if you're telling yourself You know, you need to look for a way to be a millionaire in 5 years' time and walking on the beach. Your brain will delete everything except a way for you to become a millionaire and walking on the beach in 5 years. That's just how the brain works. It's just a different method of communicating with yourself. It exists. It's already within you. And if it's not, you're not alive, by the way. You're dead, because everybody has this ability to do it. You just don't know it yet. But it's simply a better way of communicating with yourself about the future, and your brain will help you along. It's just an evolutionary trait that this is what we do. Okay, I hope that's useful for you. Let me know. We're live again on Monday in a Business Growth Show. Other than that, come and say hello. We're in the Mastermind group as well, of course. And let me know what you think in the box down below, and we'll speak to you on Monday. Have yourselves a wicked weekend, and we'll speak to you then. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.